Good morning, everybody. I'm over here today because I want to use this whiteboard, if it'll allow me. I don't know if it will. And I'm giving, should I move, guys? Is this? Yeah. Okay. All right. I can do that. That's okay. I can hear.
You want me to move the whiteboard?
I can move it. It's all right. I was just, let's see here. Don't do what? Can we bring it over here, you think? All right, we'll just do that then. We'll just do that. I don't know if I'll be able to use it or not. We'll see here. Someone left all the tops off of the markers, I can see, so they're probably all dried out. Will that work? Like this? Will that work? I don't know if any of these will actually work because the... You see, every one of these markers are left open. These aren't going to work.
That one doesn't work bad, but it's just little. Yeah,
we can use that one then.
Try either one of those.
Think this will work? Okay. Can y'all see the red? Okay. Am I still in your horn pattern there? Okay, I'm sorry. This is not the most audio design location for Sunday school. I get it with an open microphone right under the speaker. So we conclude our series on peace today. And so we'll continue in August. And I'm really considering the topic of hearing the call. Hearing the call is what I'm really considering moving forward. In that series, I want to, there's three things we want to consider when we're pursuing what God's called us to, either from a macro level or micro level. You know, we always think a call being this like big aha moment, this burning bush moment in time. But you know, God's constantly calling us. He's constantly calling. He's constantly calling us to come do something. And so there's three things that I want to consider moving forward, and maybe next week and to conclude the month of August is... Number one, our spiritual gifts, because God's called us to things to exercise what he's equipped us to do spiritually. You know, he's not going to call me necessarily into a ministry he hasn't equipped me spiritually to do, or call me into doing something, maybe not even a ministry, just some activity. You know, he's not going to call me into something that he hasn't given me the tools to succeed with, right? That's one vertical. The other thing is, he's not going to call me into a situation where he's not uniquely designed me to thrive in. See, we're all uniquely designed. We are all. Now, that doesn't mean he won't call me to something where I'm weak in. Okay, there's a difference. Sometimes he says, Terry, I want you to go do this for a while.
I was going to say, he can call you and uniquely humble you.
Well, he uses that to say, hey, this needs to be developed in your life. And so he's always calling me to something because where I am weak, he is strong, okay? But having a clear perspective of that is very helpful. And being sober-minded, you know, the person that says I can't and the person that says I can are both wrong. They're both wrong. And because in the spiritual context of this, it has nothing to do with you. It's all him, right? What can he do through me, right? So that we want to talk about how he's uniquely made us. And then thirdly, how our experiences that God has allowed us heretofore have, how do they inform what we're to do today? You know, everything that we've walked in our lives, everything, every single thing, from the things that hurt us to the things that's helped us to the things that we just soak in and say, man, and we have a sense of nostalgia, to the things that we don't even want to think about because it's so painful. Every one of those things God uses for his glory. So those are the three things that sort of go into informing, you know, what is God calling us to today? How can we, those wanting me to do this, is how you're wanting me to do it, and this is how you're going to show up and show out in my life. So those are some things that are rattling around in my head, so I'm probably considering to finish this month off since we're concluding peace today. But we're on the topic of peace, and for those who are just joining us either in the recording or coming today. The first week we talked about, let's get into my notes, we're led by peace. And our text there was, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The big thought in that lesson was this. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we don't have peace simply because of the environment we entertain. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, sometimes it's just good sense. Hey, it's not peaceful here. I'm going this way. You know, it's just controlling your environment, right? And we try to over-spiritualize it sometimes. Well, bless God, I'm just going to be here and suffer. You don't have to. You know, unless God has specifically said, hey, hang out there and just enjoy the, you know, the scenery. You know, it might be a time to move. So we're led by peace. That was week one. Week two, we said that peace is not just a feeling, it's a person. That it is a person, and it is the expression of the Holy Spirit. It is the expression of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit moving and actively in our life. And then last week, we got a little counterintuitive because we put two terms that you would never put together and say, but that's the Bible. And what did we say? You got to fight for your peace. Sometimes you have to fight for peace. And then we went into the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and said, here is the armor that God has given you to establish and say, hey, as far as me and my house, this is how we roll. You might not like it, but you're going to have to lump it. You know what I'm saying? Because we are going to have peace, you know? And so sometimes you have to fight for your peace, correct? And then we're going to finish today's series there in the Beatitudes, where Jesus said, blessed or happy is a person who is a peacemaker. What will they be called? Sons of children of God, which means, let's break that term down a little bit more. What does it mean in that context, in that passage right there, when he says you're a son of God, that you'll be called a child of God? What does it literally mean? You'll be called a mature disciple, son, kinsman of God. Not just a child. I have children, and I have a couple that are mature. And the rest are maturing. Right? But we're and I am growing up myself. I am mature. It's not a static situation. It's a dynamic, right? But he's saying you'll actually be known if you can become a peacemaker on this earth. The branding, your avatar, what people will think of you when they, oh, there comes a peacemaker. There comes a mature disciple of God. Not, oh, there comes a Christian. Oh, there comes a churchgoer. Oh, there comes someone that knows the Bible. Oh, there's someone that can really debate theology. Oh, there's someone that has a religious bent toward things. But no, someone who's mature, grown up. That was the exception, not the norm. Yep. That's why it was so effective.
Where
is Michael? Where's any of my musicians? That's what they teach in music. If you're always at 110 decibels, where do you have to go? It's when you're playing down here and it's subtle and the music's flowing and then you crank it up to make a point. How effective is it? Oh, that's called dynamics, right, in music. If I'm always at 110 decibels going 120 beats per minute, I've got nowhere else to go. I'm out of runway. If I've got another point, another gear I got to take it to, I have nowhere to go. And that's you're right. So today, we're going to be talking about blessed are the peacemakers. And I wanted to leave this series with some application because information without application is what? It's just me up here jawboning. It's just good. You know, it might even puff us up because we walk away with some.
She's new. She's a visitor.
Joy, it's good to have you. We've been praying for joy in this class. Lord, give us some joy. And he strategically placed you. He is. What was you going to say?
Oh, I just said it was useless.
It's useless. It's just talking points. I might as well be a talking head on one of these TV shows. You know, they just, well, here's my opinion. Who cares? Right? Who cares? So I wanted to give some just practical applications today that we can fulfill this thing of blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Number one. In James 1:19, it says this, let every person be what? Quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to get angry. So what does that mean in a practical way? Write this down. Practice active listening. Active listening. Practice active listening. You know why this is so important? Now I know we're Southerners in here, or most of us are. If you're not, let me give you a little incline. Southerners want to be thought of as kind. They don't necessarily want to be kind. They just want to be thought of as kind. Bless your heart. Bless. So we will say some of the ugliest stuff in the nicest terms. You know, she dumb as a box of rocks, bless her heart, but you know, it's ugly, just ugly stuff. But why, I mean, let's think, I want to drill this down. Why is active listening such a, Jeff Wells, why is it such a strong utility in making peace? Why is it so practically helpful? See, I'm telling everybody to be active listening. I'm back here listening, man. I'm not saying a word. Yes, ma'am?
To get understanding.
So for you to get understanding? That's great.
I mean, he said getting knowledge.
Understanding. So how am I supposed to understand you if I'm not listening? Yeah, so that's great. That's good. Otherwise, I'm just shooting in the dark. Exactly. Boy, I've spent most of our marriage arguing against something that she don't even believe or think. I was like, wait a minute, what are we? Have you ever got to the point of like, well, what were we arguing about? Because I was about to make a point.
Active listening is an act of love.
Act of love.
Show that I really care about you.
In the know what you mean. But there is a fundamental psychological need we all have in here, no matter what our personality type is and everything. And what is that? To be heard. So when I actively listen and I try to gain understanding what you mean, what I'm doing for you is I'm validating you as a person. I'm saying you're worth something. You mean something. That I'm not just blowing past this and acting like I heard you. So from the context of blessed are the peacemakers, how am I making peace? I'm sowing into that person just by doing this. Talk to me. And then, what do I say? What did you mean by this? When you said this, this is where my mind goes, but help me out. Gene and I, we've, after 29 years of marriage, we finally, just in the last year or two, finally figured out, how to communicate with one another. Finally. You know, and honestly, from someone that graduated Ruth, I'm actually about 10 years ahead of schedule. But we implemented this one rule, which is, I guess, active listening. But it just, and it's this. When we're in one of those, heated moments, that diverging perspectives on a matter, where our perspectives just don't line up together and passions are starting to arise. That ain't how you do it. Here's what we have figured out that has worked for us. Use it if you want. I'm not allowed if I'm the listener in this instance, I'm not allowed to respond or to give my side or to offer any rebuttal until I can clearly articulate what she meant by what she just said. So you said this, and then I said, so what I gathered from that is da-da-da-da-da. And then she can say, that's not what I mean. I mean da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, okay, so what you're telling me is da-da-da-da-da-da. She says, no, that's right. But, and then until I can clearly encapsulate back to her what she meant, I can't offer my rebuttal. And vice versa. And I'm going to tell you, that has stopped so many could-be World War III moments in its tracks. Well, because up until that point, I am responding not to what she said, but what I heard. And what I hear comes through my perspective, my biases on a particular situation, my communicational style. You know, we could not be more polar opposite in our personality types, in our communication styles, in our upbringing. I mean, I was raised by Pentecostals that music and sound and words, I mean, we were that was the focus. It didn't matter what I looked like when I said something. What did I say? It didn't matter, you know, just an emphasis on definitions and this and that and the other. She was raised in the deaf world where it ain't about the words I said. It's about the tone I said it in my facial expressions. And so it made this huge, just constantly, I'm going back to what does Webster say? And she's going back to, but when you use this motion and this and you say it in this way, this is what it means to me. Boy, it was like, oh, that's not what I mean. It was a huge, huge. And so this little active listening exercise we have done has made us both blessed. Because the Bible says blessed, happy. That's what that word means. Happy is the peacemakers. Why? Because they're grown up. They're starting to mature. They're starting to understand how to agreeably disagree. That doesn't mean we always agree, but it now means that we don't have to kill each other because we don't agree. All right? So, yes? Did y'all hear that? That's worth the class right there. People pay a premium just to sit down and talk to someone that will listen. Don't they, Jeff? Yeah. People will pay big money to take your shoes off, lay down on the couch, and it all started when I was just the kids in the streets of Spindale.
So give the gift.
Terry, I got a verse. That
please.
It goes along with this, and it's Philippians 2:3 that says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself.
Exactly right. Good, Ed. Exactly. But what do you have in those moments? You have to, this is why feelings are important, but we cannot be controlled by them. Feelings are important, but you cannot be controlled by them. But feelings do serve, you know, what is the practical psychological utility for feelings? Does anybody in here know? You even know why you have feelings? So you can remember. Think about it. The moments with the greatest impact in your life, your child's birth, your wedding day. I can go in, I can hear a song, come on, and it takes me back to 1990 in McDonald's, in Forest City, North Carolina, when this short little girl that her parents and family owned Liberty Press went out with me on my first date. One song, and I go back instantly. Why? Feelings, emotions. So let me break that down for the guys in here. Men, that's why you will never, ever win an argument with your wife. Don't try. Because they feel more than you do. so they remember better than you do. And so this is one of the things that I had to learn early on, because I would be talking to my wife and say, that is not what happened. What happened? And then I'd come find out, yeah, she was right. She remembered. Why? Because I was emotionally detached from that moment. She wasn't. And all of a sudden, without facts and figures and details, what am I here to talk about? So... That's right. Absolutely. And that's why active listening and what Brother Ed just said, that we esteem one another. We don't speak out of our own selfish ambitions and what we want and our desires, but we're trying to esteem others. That's the only way that we can, blessed are the peacemakers. This is rule one. How do we make peace? Active listening. Number two, respond with gentleness and not retaliation. Respond with gentleness. That's number two, and I'll give you a verse for that. Respond with gentle, and I'm not on my computer, so that's probably misspelled. I'm one of those that have to have spell check. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If I could go back in time and I could talk to 25, 28-year-old Terry Wilson, I would have taught him this lesson right here. Sometimes your talent will take you further than your character can sustain you. It will. Your talent will take you further than your character can sustain you. So I had a talent, a proclivity for sales and business and marketing and that kind of thing. So it launched me into being a business owner by the time I was 25, 26 years old, 28 years old. Owned my own business, had employees. I had no right to be in leadership at that point. Had no right. I did not have the character. Not because I was doing anything unethical or immoral. No, I was just a hothead, 28-year-old kid that did not know how to speak eloquently and with heart and with compassion. And, well, let's just say I wasn't a good leader at all. At all. I was like, this is the way it is, and if you don't like it, and that was done. You know, it's just that was my thought. That was my idea. Well, I told them not to do anything stupid. They did something stupid. You know, that was it. I had no more framework than that until God in his sovereignty allows me through his providential happenstances and situations, puts me in a situation, all right, it's time to grow up, Terry. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. And now all of a sudden, leadership is not saying this is what you do and this is what you don't do. Leadership saying, watch me. And then going back and saying, here's where I screwed up. Did you see that? So you don't have to. Leadership is going beside someone and walking with them when they're not measuring to what the standards are for a particular situation. Leadership is laying your life down and saying, I'll help you get where you need to go. But see, young Terry Wilson didn't know that. Young Terry he got thrown into leadership because he had a skill set over here. That's why I tell people all the time, sometimes the worst thing could ever happen to a person is success. Because think about it. Look in our culture. Someone can sing well or act well, and all of a sudden they're on a stage pontificating about matters they don't know anything about. Yet they've got this stage to share their opinions. Why? Because they're famous so-and-so, or they can do this. But they don't know nothing about politics. They don't know nothing about world peace. They don't know nothing about, you know, buzzwords like vaccination. Yeah, I'll throw one controversial out there, pro or against. I don't care. But the fact that you can sing doesn't make you an expert in that matter. Yet our culture does what? It elevates because of this. You know, just because someone makes a lot of money in something doesn't make them smart in other areas. So, yeah. I mean, everybody's got an opinion about everything, don't they? But so we respond. Someone's going to.
Different
Right.
It's mom's fault. World Magazine. It's a political magazine, but from a Christian perspective, it's like.
Well, you know, up until now, there was only really one industry that fed our political system, and what was it? The legal system.
Right.
And just because you're a great lawyer, which means you can dissect words and make an argument, doesn't make you a great operator. So there's some different disciplines we all need and need one another. But to the point here, one of the ways I can be a peacemaker is learn to respond with gentleness. Learn to respond with gentleness. Number three, focus on common ground. Focus on common ground. Focus on common ground. You want to be a peacemaker? It doesn't take a prophetic eye to be able to see the differences that you have with other people. It doesn't take the Spirit of God moving on you to say, here's how I'm different. Our natural inkling is to all of a sudden, it takes the Spirit of God to look across the table with someone that comes from a completely different background, a completely different experience, a completely different attitude, everything, and try to figure out where do we have commonality. So we can start building a relationship from there. Now, you want a verse to back that up? Let's go to Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. If possible, so far as it depends on you. That's very, you know, because there's some people you can't make peace with. You know, what did David say? David said, oh, we took sweet counsel together, but we could not find peace. Why? He had war in his heart. So there's sometimes, you know, you're not God, you can't control everything. But Paul in Romans is saying, to the extent it depends on you, try to find common ground, try to find a way to live peaceably.
Here.
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of times we don't think
rumbling,
anger is sin.
Oh, but it is, isn't it? It is.
We don't think our attitude makes the difference.
Mm.
But that makes all the difference.
Chuck Swindoll, if someone wants to look it up, someone Google Chuck Swindoll poem on attitude. Somebody look that up for me real quick, and when you get it, read it for me if you can. Chuck Swindoll has one of the best encapsulated, it's almost like a poem that he wrote about attitude. If y'all can find it on Google, if anybody finds it, just holler at me and I'll stop. But you're exactly right. And the thing about attitudes is the fruit of what I ruminate on. What I ruminate on will grow and become this attitude. If all I'm doing is ruminating on why I'm irritated with so-and-so or such-and-such or this situation or this scenario, it doesn't matter what the Bible says, and I might even believe it. It's because what you behold, you become. And if all I do is behold everything that's wrong or everything that irritates me or everything that's just yada, yada, yada about a certain situation, then when I get around that certain situation, the Spirit of God in me is leading me to Scripture and saying that I need to bless those who despitefully use me and da-da-da, or I need to do this. I will, my logical brain will tell me what the logos, the logic of God, will say. But my heart, my face, oh, bless God, it's good to see you. My attitude's not there. Why? Because I've been ruminating on it. You got it? Okay, it says, oh, I love this. You got it. This is Charles Swindoll. I love this. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on my life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more than important than past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people say or do. It is more important than the appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way toward us. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. That's Chuck Swindoll. And I was like, whoo, man, out of prayer. I can't control anything. I can't control what y'all think of me, whether you like me, love me, or hate me. It doesn't really matter. I can't control what happened to me in my past. I can't even control what's happening to me right now. But the one thing I can't control is how I respond to it, how I react to it, the power of choice. I have the power given to us by our God to choose. We are not robots. We are not preconditioned. We right now in this very moment, I can look at the biggest giant I have in my life and I can choose how I'm going to respond to it. I can choose how I react to it. I can choose, listen to me, I can choose the meaning I ascribe to it. I can choose, but man, look at how the devil's beating up on me. Or I can choose, boy, look what God is going to do in front of me. Look at the testimony that is going to come out of this. Look at how I'm going to get sit back on the front row and watch God do his thing. Oh, it's going to be a fun ride. This life is not like riding in a fast car. It's like riding in a roller coaster. I don't have a steering wheel. I don't have the brakes. All I got is to hold on and watch God take me in to where I am promised to be. Amen. But at my ride is going to be my ride. I am going to have ups and downs that I cannot control. But the experience I have on the ride is up to me. I can complain about it the whole time. I can fuss about it the whole time. I can talk about the fairness of it and the equality in it and why it's not right. Or I can sit there and go, boy, watch God be God. Now you can say, well, Terry, you're just being Pollyannish. Terry, you're just being, Mr. Positivity. You can say whatever you want, but the Bible says that I get to choose. That is his sovereign right given to me. And what I get to choose is what I get to choose. And as far as me and my house, we choose him. Choice is power. I don't think you and I know I haven't in the past, really taken the time to say, thank you, God. Thank you for giving me the power of choice. Thank you for allowing me not to be some robot, not to be some predisposed, in today's message, we're going to talk about, where when it is what it is, faces the great I am. It doesn't have to be it is what it is. It doesn't have to be, but I don't want to step on that. So, number three, focus on common ground. Number four, take initiative to reconcile. Have you ever been in a room, you know things aren't right between you and someone else? And you just sort of glancing over at them and you just glance back. Have you ever been in a grocery store and you saw someone that didn't see you and you went the other aisle? We got one honest person in here. Anybody else? Anybody? The spirit of truth is starting to move amongst the people. Like a cloud, the spirit of truth is starting to just percolate a little. I see that hand. Who was it? Go ahead, testify. Was it me? Oh, well, no, that don't count. I'm talking about you. There's Terry Wilson.
I haven't ever done it, but it's because they probably already saw me and turned the other way.
They're the ones running is what you're saying. They're the ones running. Take the initiative. But what if they reject me? What if they say, or... better yet, I'd rather be rejected in this next one. What if they do that Southern charm thing and act like nothing's wrong? It must be you. What are you talking about? There's nothing going on. They're not honest with the situation. What if they act like that? Don't act like that don't happen. Y'all looking at me like I got three eyes up here. You know good and well. You know good and well that something is like, it just ain't jiving. And then sometimes you or I will get called out on it because the Spirit of God moves on somebody and says, hey, go make it right. And then I got the chance, or they got the chance, to say, yeah, and own it. Or do what? Hold that rug up. Just going to put this right and act like it didn't happen. Now, hold that rug up, Vicky. I got get that up in there. He ain't going to see that. Here's your verse. Y'all need a verse. It says this, Matthew 5:23. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Pardon? Yeah. In other words, don't come up in here and give me all these gifts and give me your praise and give me this and say thank you when you looking across there and Doug Logan and y'all ain't talking. Don't even come up in here. Don't try to fake it till you make it. Don't try to put that southern charm on it. Bless your heart, you know, just bless God. I'm just here to serve. No. Be real with it. You got issues. And Randy, issues are like what? Issues are like tissues. You pull one out, another one pops up. And you find out where that one come from. So make it right. Number five, manage your own emotions first. Manage your own emotions first. Manage your own emo first. That's shorthand. Here's your verse. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one that takes a city. That's Proverbs 16:32. What does that mean? Psychologically, regulation, deep breathing, reframing, prayer improves empathy and decision-making. Psychologists and people that study neuroscience will tell you when you are under the grip of stress and different toxic emotions, you do not think clearly. You are not in your best frame of mind. And if I'm not in my best frame of mind, Ed, and I'm not in my best clear thinking, how in the world am I supposed to come to you and make peace? I am in no position right then to be able to be a peacemaker. I'm probably at that point going to stir it up. Oh, you think it's bad now? Well, let's just keep on stirring this thing and see how bad it can get. And that's why the Bible says there in Proverbs, better a patient person than a warrior. You know, I think Bobby Connor was the one that said any jackass can kick a barn down. It takes a real carpenter of God to build one. I can go in and destroy a relationship just like that. Just like that. I know. I've seen me do it. But it takes a real skilled, called by God, builder of the kingdom to go in and say the barn is already dilapidated. It's falling. The structure's got problems. The foundation's got problems. The roof leaks. And then start going in. Start building back up. Start patching and start building this thing back up for the glory of God. That is true peacemaking. God's called us to be peacemakers. He's promised us that we'd be blessed if we are, which means happy. Number six, seek understanding before being understood. Seek understanding. That touches on a little bit of what we was talking about at first. So number six, seek understanding. Now, here's the thing, and we talked about this before. Understood. That's shorthand. Because you and I both have this gravitational pull on our emotions, which is to be heard. Every one of us in here. It is like saying, Vicky's hungry, I'm hungry, we're both sitting in front of a buffet. It takes me intentionally saying, I'm not going to feed the hunger that's inside of me right now. I'm going to back up and say, Vicky, here's your plate. Let's get you fed first. That's why it's so difficult. Because everybody's got this, okay, Randy. Thank you. I didn't know if I was supposed to talk. Now, where was I? Yeah, where are we going afterwards? We're going to the buffet after. All right, y'all meet me over at Dragon Pile. But that's the thing we have to be cognitive of. We have to think about this. And the point is this, what I just said isn't not known. That's not a new revelation. But bringing it up to your forefront, when I recall things, I can go, whoa, 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 what's going on inside of me? Okay, I'm hungry and I want to eat. But I need to feed their soul first. If I'm going to be a peacemaker, I'm going to defer. And I might. And listen, there are some relationships you have to go on a diet for a while. You're not going to get to eat. Because they don't care to understand you. All they care about is to be understood. Now, there's a conversation that needs to move on past that as what's the sustainability of that relationship at some point, you know, and there needs to be counseling if that's a relationship that's wedded, okay, because there needs to be some counseling. That's not a sustainable relationship because at some point I got to eat, you know. God's created me emotionally, psychologically, biologically to eat. That's what sustains life. But to the extent I can self-discipline and say, but right now I'm on a diet because this person needs healing, so I'm here to understand, not necessarily be understood. So that's number six. Number seven, we're going to be quick because we're going to ring the bell again, is use I statements instead of you statements. Don't have time to break it down. I instead of you. That's huge. And then number eight, and finally, the last one is forgive even if trust must be rebuilt. Forgive even when you don't trust. You don't have to have trust before you offer forgiveness. Don't put trust in front of offering forgiveness. Okay? So offer, forgive before trust. That's just shorthand me. Okay? Did we get something out of this? All right, was this good?
Can I just suggest a resource?
Yes.
There is an app that you can get from a home ministry that's dedicated. It's called Peacemaker.
Oh, yeah.
Ministries. The Peacemaker is the book that they've done. And so I'm just trying to, if you go to the app store,
go to your Google Play or your Apple iTunes store and look up Peacemaker app. It's a ministry, and it will help you with a lot of these techniques and stuff here. Yes.
Next week, when we wrap this up, can you speak on where Luke 12:51?
Luke 12:51. I'll tell you what, I'll let you. All right. Just remind me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We got to get out of here. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this word. Thank you for your people. And thank you for your heart to reconcile. Lord, you said we are all called to one particular ministry, and that's the ministry of reconciliation. And Lord, we want to walk in the blessing that you've called us to. And one of those ways is being peacemakers. So to the extent that we hear you today and we accept your grace in this area, make us all peacemakers. In your name we pray. Amen. Blessings, guys.